May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There was a word I was going to share today, which is a follow-up of yesterday. And my personality type is such that it's almost unbearable for me not to share it. But we're going to do it Sunday. Or you'll have to hear it again Sunday, so we'll do it Sunday. I'll give you a preview for Sunday, for those of you who are CTKers. Scripture says that unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. See, the kingdom of heaven's pressing against us. I believe it's the resurrection that converts us to become like little children. If you've personally encountered the risen Christ, it restores childlikeness. There you go. That's the commercial. This is a good word, too. This is Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I read these, I think it was Sunday, about resurrection, new creation, how it affects us. Let me just begin in chapter 5 and read some verses and then make a few comments. For if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who are receiving continually the abundance of grace and are continually receiving the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, there resulted in justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many were made righteous. And the law came in that transgressions might increase, but where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. That as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we certainly shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self was crucified with him. And then just verse 10 and 11. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he's now living, he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Just remarkable, remarkable, remarkable scriptures. If there's a specific calling in my life, and it's not like I've just discovered this, but if there is a specific calling in my life, if I were to reduce it down to certain things, like when I go to Brazil last year, we were September there, in September, so many people got healed there and with the team and the year before, that when Archbishop Garcia speaks about me, he says, you know, we're so glad to have Archbishop Jones here. He has this unique gift of healing. I don't think that's one of my primary giftings, though I can facilitate that, though it's who Jesus is, part of what he does. Because there's a language barrier, Portuguese, and when I go to Africa, there's other language barriers. The teaching thing that I do is not quite as clear because they don't really understand everything that you're saying, so you just go for the other stuff. But if there is something God's called me to do, if there's a calling on my life that's really clear, it would start off here about who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Sunday, when I talked about that, Greg Clemens, who's been with me forever, said, man, I never get tired of hearing it. And I go, well, I never get tired of saying it because I never get tired of it discovering it. Because you see, my flesh is new every day. I don't know about yours, but my flesh wakes up every day with fully eyes wide open, ready to go after it. And so I'm always looking at new angles, seeing new things, discovering new things about who Christ is in me as my victor. Because I need fresh revelation constantly of who is life in me, because I get fresh revelation daily about my flesh. And it's disappointing revelation. So this is an alive and well message, because sin is alive and well in us, right? So the cross event, the resurrection event, the person you once were went to the cross with him, buried. You were raised up in union with him as a risen Savior. And the power of resurrection, according to Ephesians 1:18-19, is working in you, because the risen Christ is working in you. And he talks about in Romans 6, newness of life. Newness of life. That just fascinates me. You're not just a new creation. You're a new creation who can live a new kind of life. First 10:11. For the death that he died to sins once. But the life that he lives, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. Why? Because his history is your history. You're in Christ. His death to sin is your death to sin. Even so, since you died in him, even so, the death that he died to sin once, but the life that he's living, he lives to God. He lives a godly life. He lives for God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. How? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, your identity, my identity as a new creation is in the person of Jesus. My worth is found in who I am in Christ. My self-worth and my self-image is all wrapped up in the fact that I'm an earthen vessel that holds this amazing treasure called Jesus. I can't separate myself from him and try to find who I really am. It's always disappointing when I do. For I've died and my life is hidden with Christ and God. And the enemy, what he always wants to do is to get you to stand outside of yourself and see yourself apart from him and evaluate yourself. And it's always disappointing and guilt-ridden and creates a lot of anxiety and frustration. But see, that's not who you really are. That's not who you are. You're in Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ. And so the death that he died to sin once, but the life that he's living, he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ, in the person of Jesus. You're living for God. Your godly living, your hope for godly living is in a person, Jesus, that you're in union with, who's your very life. He's your hope today to live for God in the next minute, in the next hour, in the next relationship, in the next everything, after lunch break. But the language I love there is this. When it says, even so, in the King James is a southern version because it says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. And the language there is, that word consider, some of you have been around, heard me say this before, it's an accounting word. It's a word that says, it's like if you've got $100 in the bank, believing you have $100 in the bank doesn't make you have $100 in the bank. Because you have $100 in the bank, you can believe it. And the language was also written in get it, like just get this down, believe this, as a principle that should permeate everything in your life. Now, you'll walk it out every day, but get this. Believing that you died to sin in Christ doesn't make it true. It's true, so believe it. There's a big difference. I've known people for years who are, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, and if I believe it enough, I'll be dead to sin. No, you're dead to sin, now believe it. Again, we're not waiting for God to show up. He's waiting for us to show up. He's done it all. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant that in a broad way. The Christian life starts where somebody else said it's finished. We're breaking through to believing. what he's already done, the finished work of Christ. But here's the cool thing. It doesn't just say, consider yourselves dead to sin. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. But he also says, but consider this fact, that you are alive to God in Christ. Believing that won't make it true. It's true, so believe it. It's an operative reality that's true about you. You are alive to God in the person of Christ. The new you has been awakened, has a heart for righteousness. All those things in you, the ought to's, I ought to do this, or I ought to not do that, that's the real you. The longings for the good things, I mean, your flesh may be raging, but that's the real you. The inner man, that stuff is the outer man stuff. That's not the real you. That's the fallen false thing. The real you wants to do God's will. The real you hungers for righteousness. The real you rejoices in the will of God. The real you believes that people can get healed. The real you has hope rising up in it. The real you thinks that things can really happen that you really don't understand that are really wonderful. The real you wants to believe. The real you, that's the real you. Consider yourselves dead to sin also, but alive to God. You have been turned on. You've been plugged in. You're alive to God in Christ. It's in the person of Jesus. It's in your union with Him. That's true about you. It doesn't matter if you failed 1,000 times this last week. That's the truth about you. You died to sin in Christ. You're alive to God right now, Christ. The death that he died to sin once, but the life that he's living to God. Even so, consider yourself dead to sin, but living to God, alive to God in Christ, who's living to God right now. I don't know if that blows your whistle, but it blows my whistle. It blows my mind. It's true. Believing it won't make it true. It's true. So start believing it. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.